Lord, we are weak, but you can make us stronger. Please help us to carry this cross for others. Well, my dear one, sorry about the silence, but we've really been going through it with Ezekiel's pain, with no pain medication. It keeps me going 24/7, and there's very little relief time. It seems that the Lord has promised is healing Ezekiel, and polyps are coming out of his intestine, dead. They're dying off and leaving his body. Extremely painful when they die and detach, and this is where the major pain is coming from. It is a process of healing. We know that we're suffering for the whole nation and trafficked children, but a new element has come up. The other people all around the world who are suffering as Ezekiel is, but without a wife to take care of them, without a doctor or medicine. And we need to also be praying for them. Many of these souls live in third world countries or developing nations like Nicaragua and Flute Maker Ministries. We've been supporting them for housing, doctors, medicine, food, and healthy latrines to keep disease from spreading. But the Lord is calling us to pray for them also and to identify with their plight, because many suffer like Ezekiel and have no recourse to help. And it's interesting because I remember just recently a woman with, I think, 3 children had died from a twisted intestine. Oh my goodness, she had no one to help her and no one to take her to the hospital if there even was a hospital as far out and remote as they lived. What a painful death. Truly, he is calling all of us to drop the self-pity and offer what he doesn't heal up for those who have no one and nothing to help. He's really stretching Ezekiel and I to stop complaining and being so sensitive to our own problems and yet callous to the problems of others. I'm not there yet, guys. I'm trying, but I'm not there. Pride and self-pity keep coming up over and over again. I have moments where I feel sorry for myself and, of course, sorry for Ezekiel, and he too has those. God is allowing monumental suffering and asking us not to complain, but to accept it from his hand, even as Job did. And that's written in Job, the 1st chapter, verse 21. Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Wow, what a challenge. The Lord is using this suffering in marvelous ways to change our hearts, to teach us perseverance and patience, to release graces into the mission field, to comfort the trafficked children. In so many different ways, he's bringing good out of this suffering. Who am I to sit and complain, Lord, this is too much, please give us some relief? And that's exactly what I say. When I have prayed all the prayers, then I need to wait on him to deliver us in his timing. I need to have faith that he is working in marvelous ways. I do not understand now, but I will in the future. I will understand and see them clearly in heaven when he reveals it all. In the meantime, my entire work consists in trust, trusting him that this is necessary and that I need to be generous enough to offer it to him without complaint. Oh, my dear ones, this is so difficult. You go to a doctor and they look at you immediately as a drug addict wanting more for their substance abuse. You can read it in their faces. You can hear the stony wall going up. You can feel the chill in the room when they distance themselves from you so they won't get into trouble. If they prescribe what the patient needs, they will have drug enforcement on their doorstep, wanting to see why they wrote those scripts. Doctors that don't care about their patients more than their careers and future security do not want to deal with that, so they play by the rules. No meds except for terminal patients. I know so many people who are very, very sick with chronic pain and are treated with scorn, contempt, and Tylenol. Oh, I pray those doctors will get a heart and some brave soul will become an advocate for the thousands who have legitimate pain and nothing to calm it. God is calling us higher up the mountain, guys. And every time I cry out about Ezekiel getting relief, I get patience from the Bible promises. But the medical community is so hamstrung over pain medication. No one wants to recognize that a patient needs real relief. Sure, they'll get addicted, but when the situation is healed, they taper off and get unaddicted. In the meantime, they didn't suffer like this. They led a normal and productive life. I am praying for a national advocate in the medical community to stand up to these unjust laws that are stealing the life out of thousands and forcing some to the street for medication. And others are committing suicide because they cannot live with the pain. But in the meantime, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. And feeling sorry for ourselves is a sin that robs us of more life than the pain does. It's our attitude towards the Lord. Why did you allow this suffering? Don't you know I have an important life to live? Some of us have this putrid attitude and just hang on every excuse to feel sorry for ourselves. This is not what he wants, dearly beloved ones. He wants us to rise up and shoulder this cross until he sees fit to take it from us. He needs us to recognize that redemption is spreading like fire among the unsaved, and much of it comes from our sufferings that he allows and that we cooperate with. So I was led to share a photograph from what Ezekiel has been going through so you can understand. We've offered ourselves as living sacrifices to the Lord, and he needs precisely that in this season. So let's not deny him. Rather, let's cry out, Lord, you can make us stronger. And I have to tell you, he truly did prepare us for this class we're in right now when he showed to us our glorified bodies in the new world. He was saying to us, this is where I'm taking you. This will be the final outcome of your lives. Beauty for ashes, wonders for woes. In the end, you will finally understand why I allowed all of this. Lord, have you anything to say? Jesus began, my precious ones, you are not alone in your sufferings. None of you are alone. I am right there by your side, suffering with you over and over and over again. You do not walk alone. And my bride has met me in the garden so many times, enjoying the beauty of our love. But there are also times of crucifixion, times when we will suffer together, even as we were intoxicated with the sweetness of our love for one another. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is in your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. That's Colossians 3:3. And 2 Timothy also came to mind. This is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. In Romans 6:4. We therefore were buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may walk in newness of life. In 2 Corinthians 4:10. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our bodies. Jesus continued here, in so many places I have taught you the mysteries of suffering in union with me. To experience true suffering is to enter into the deep reservoirs of my heart of love for humanity. Without these experiences, you cannot measure the depth of my love, nor live and walk in my forgiveness, loving your brothers and sisters as I do. You must understand suffering through experience, or you will remain but a spiritual infant. These are the weightier things of this walk with me. These are the things most avoid and explain away, giving for an excuse that I bore your infirmities. Indeed I did. But as my bride, you now also bear the infirmities of your brothers and sisters, not for opening the gates of heaven, but for the process of justification by faith and grace, which must be released to bring all souls to heaven. It is your work of co-redemption to aid in bringing the good news to each generation. This is why I am stressing to you, Claire, the need for selflessness in suffering, the need for you to carry your cross without resentment or complaint. It is so unbecoming of you, my beloved. You know the weightiness of the matters at hand. You know how perilous the times. You know I am just and fair, and I do nothing for shallow reasons. So if I am allowing these burdens for you, there must be a very good reason. Oh, don't you trust me? Please trust me that this time of suffering and trial is so very necessary to move forward with my plans. Please know that I have chosen all of you heart dwellers for a very special work to bring mankind into my heart and raise these children up to the full stature I envisioned for them before time even began. Never will I allow you to suffer beyond the grace I have given to sustain you. Trust me in this. You can still carry on with this cross, and wonderful doors will open for you all. Doors of unbelievable blessing and change are coming from my heart dwellers. But first the arduous climb up the mountain of love. Trust me in this and know that every little thing, from a sliver to a major surgery, everything counts for establishing my kingdom come and my will be done. I bless you now, beloved ones. I bless and empower you. I stand ready beside you. I measure out each burden to the capacity of grace I have given you, and I hope for your cheerful and gracious response in carrying these crosses without complaint, but rather with the joy of knowing that I am using you in this great work, and nothing you suffer will fall to the ground unused. All of it shall bear sweet, nourishing fruit with seeds also for the next generation. Be at peace, my beloved ones. The things you suffer are not in vain. They are extremely important for the kingdom. Call on me in those moments when it seems like too much to bear, and I will shore you up with my loving presence and my resurrection power.